Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Over the past few weeks, we've seen a renewed high-profile focus on sex trafficking. It seems to have come out of nowhere. What's going on here? And what is it that you need to know about this issue to make sure your children are safe? Well, tonight, my guests are Lisa Daughtry. She is a sex trafficking advocate and director of marketing and community outreach for No More Martyrs, a mental health organization for survivors of trauma and as well as sex trafficking. Also, Tina Front. She is the founder and director of Courtney's House. She is also a sex trafficking survivor. If you have a comment or a question about this issue tonight, and I'm sure there will be quite a few, please give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Lisa, good to see you again.
Nice to see you, Harold.
Ms. Front, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Let me first talk to you about this, Lisa, in the sense that as I started this conversation, there just seems to be a lot of focus on the issue of sex trafficking. And a couple of years ago here in the D.C. metro, there was a lot of focus on it. The Metropolitan Police held press conferences. There was a lot of concern in the communities, particularly in the African-American community, about where are our girls, what is happening to them. And then things kind of quieted down a little bit. But then we just saw this surge again. Where's that coming from?
It never changed. It's just the increase in sex trafficking hasn't been discussed openly. And this year it seems like it's more of an increase as far as young black girls and Hispanic girls that are disappearing.
But what I'm asking is, why is it that people are now talking about it more over the past several weeks? I mean, certainly as a news organization, right, we kind of keep our ears to the ground about this. And as I said, you know, for the most part earlier this year, there had not been a lot of a high profile discussion. But all of a sudden, for lack of a better term, things started to blow up. You were going to say something, Tina?
Yes, I was going to say, so obviously this has been an issue, has always been an issue. 70% of the people that are trafficked are actually African Americans. And why you're seeing such a surge now, again, like you're exactly right, like you did 2 years ago. So I would actually say we don't have enough attention on trafficking. Every 2 years or so, something happens on TV. We all saw on social media all the information about people coming in a van and being aware. So, yeah, I see a lot of misinformation about what trafficking is out now. Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. To that point, Tina, let's talk about that. What is the difference between sex trafficking and, say, prostitution?
So, first, let's say this. I grew up in D.C. as mm-hmm. well. And I will tell you, the sex trafficking has always been here. We called it something different. We called it prostitution, unfortunately. And that means on 14th Street, where it went all the way up. And there were pimps used to stand outside. And people would bring their family and see the sight. See, that was trafficking then. It was always trafficking. So let's clear up what the misconception is. A trafficker is a pimp. It's one and the same. So mm-hmm. I think when we hear these governmental terms, we separate it. So that's what it looks like, and that's what it always looked like.
So you're saying that there is no difference between the two?
Between a pimp and a trafficker?
No, between trafficking and prostitution. And this is why I ask, because
what I'm going to tell you is there are some people who say, yes, that they're consenting adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those people wouldn't have a pimp because that would be someone else taking your money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone takes your money and you profit nothing out of it, that's what trafficking is. And that will be the difference between prostitution and forced prostitution.
Aha. Uh-huh. There you go. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for that. Because there are a lot of questions around, you know, the difference. And some would suggest that it's very subtle. Some, like you just suggested, it would be certainly more black and white, for lack of a better term. We are talking about sex trafficking and what you need to do, what you need to know to protect not only your girls, but your boys, as well as young women. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that we have seen of late, and when I say of late, I mean over the past several weeks, is an increase of social media activity from celebrities and the like. This is Egypt Sherrod. She is a well-known celebrity, television personality, used to be in radio in the Baltimore area. And this is what she has posted on her website just a couple of weeks ago.
We're not hearing enough about how we, women, black women, are under attack. 75,000 women and young girls have just disappeared. And if you ask me, not enough people are talking about it. It should be all over the news, all over the radio. These are sisters, mothers, wives. Our babies are just disappearing. Sex trafficking, human organ trafficking is at an extreme high. This is not random. This is big business that we're talking about. It's intentional, and people in high places know about it. We have got to be alert. We got to be cautious, and we got to be diligent, because our lives depend on it.
Lisa, your thoughts about what Egypt posted?
I agree with her, because this industry is $150 billion a year for sex trafficking. And I agree with her. It's not just sex. It's also organs. And they're targeting the black children.
What evidence of this do we have as it relates to? And this is why I ask that, because I think that one of the difficult things, as we have seen just earlier this year, and this is also, you know, for your thought process too, Tina, is that people have certain dramatized thoughts about what sex trafficking, you know, what it looks like. We've had several high profile incidents of girls, for example, in Prince George's County, attempted to be grabbed off the street. And we don't know what would have become of those particular girls, whether they would have been trafficked, whether they would have been sexually assaulted, whether they, you know, God forbid, may have been even murdered. But in two cases earlier this year, the little girls got away. These were grade school girls, okay? And so, so behind, like you were saying about, a $70 billion business. But talk to me a little bit more about that.
I think with the traffickers, they identify victims by their vulnerability. And that's how they create a dependency in most of the cases, when they either solicit or select a young girl or young man. And I've been reading a lot. Stating as far as this poor access to education, but I wouldn't say access to education. I just feel like the minorities are being targets.
And she made an interesting point, Tina, about selection and soliciting. These, again, from your perspective, these are not necessarily, in the case of girls that may necessarily have been just snatched off the street. They may have been groomed. Is that correct?
So I think that we're getting things confused, right? Because we're talking about right now pimp control sex trafficking, which is, yes, was the part that everyone knows about, right? Everyone heard the most about men manipulating a female, and he's older, a boyfriend-girlfriend situation. Here's the deal, y'all. There are way more forms than one. There are four forms of sex trafficking, so I'm going to go over them quickly because each one has a different sign. That's family control, yes. Parents, grandparents, who are trafficking their children. I'm going to be honest with everyone today. If you really want to talk about trafficking, then that's one you really want to talk about, because family control surpasses pimp control especially in this area. So 30% of my population who are trafficked, children, are 30% are family controlled. So that means their family, a parent, a grandmother was trafficking them. So that's one. The next is pimp control. Then there's gang control. We know that MS-13, 18th Street, Los Locos is a problem in this area. So gang control trafficking as well. Then you have our boys, which is a different dynamic as well. So, yes, those are the forms that we definitely see. And then, like I said, I see family the most. And that's something we don't talk about because family isn't pulling a child in the van and trafficking them. So what we see the most is family. Let's talk about that. It looks like abuse. Right. So the signs that we see look way more about that child being home, way more, and that parent having way more control, like any abuser.
That's interesting. Give me a little more detail about the family control. How does that happen, and what happens to the children? And I say specifically children because I would imagine while many of them may be girls, we may also be talking about boys.
So I work with girls and boys, and mm-hmm. I have an even amount of numbers. I want us to understand that. Right now, through this year, we got 4 boys that were referred to us that were 9 years old. So I'm going to talk about what we see the signs at.
Okay.
So those signs went through foster care hotlines, right? So CPS hotline calls, where people called in a few things. That child going to school, so they went to school every day. That's another misconception that kids are trafficked, don't go to school every day. This child was sleepy all the time. The parents made so many different excuses. It was ridiculous on why this child would be tired. This child and all of our youth, including myself, actually did say something about their situation. It's actually people didn't believe them that they were telling the truth. And I really think it's because we keep thinking the van traffic kids. So this mm-hmm. young boy who was 9 was actually telling people what was happening, that grown men were making him perform acts. Mm-hmm. And right, they were getting the money for it in a public park. And in our area. So I think we have people have a misconception of what trafficking is. This happened in daytime, mm-hmm. right? This happened in a playground. And so other neighbors saw, didn't know what they were seeing when they reported, but many calls came in. So Courtney's house works with foster care. We help screen those calls in this city so we can see if children are being trafficked and alert. So the city actually has a whole protocol. Think about it this way. We get about 4 to 6 referrals per week at Courtney's house on sex trafficking right here in our area.
Amazing. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about sex trafficking this evening, what you need to know and what you need to do to protect your children. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, talk to me a little bit about No More Martyrs and the kind of work that it's doing around the recovery for, in this particular case, women who are survivors of sex trafficking.
Well, there was an article of a young girl who was abducted at 13, and at 15 she died by suicide, and she lived in Houston. Her name is Letty. And so we had earlier this year in February, we had conducted a panel discussion, 3 hours, as far as discussing the signs and what to do if it happens. With most cases, after a child or a person has been abducted and probably been rescued, they still go through a lot mentally and physically. The mental part is that they still have anxiety, depression, substance abuse, suicidal tendencies, even the Stockholm syndrome. And then physically, because they have been tortured and as well as their environment where they have lived has been hygiene-wise has not been accurate or proper for them. So with us, we basically try to provide them with resources. Even though there is a national human trafficking hotline, we do provide resources as far as therapists within we're our national, so we'll provide referrals for them.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tammy, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Tammy. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is that I'm glad you guys are talking about this sex trafficking, because like the one lady said on the panel, that sex trafficking existed for such a long time. I lived overseas when I was in high school, And I went to London. I experienced a situation where I probably could have been one of those victims that could have been a situation where a gentleman who was trying to manipulate me, but because of the fact that I knew where it was going and I knew that I was not going in a direction and he had other guys with him, where they were trying to plot something. And when I hear this, it really does bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And another scenario that bothers me is that I work for a transportation company. Two companies out here that I think they need to be very careful, because I observed something in a particular area in Northwest D.C., that area where people least expect, where I think some activities was going on, because I picked up two young ladies.
Mm. Okay.
Young girls. And the person gave an unidentified name on the as the request to pick these girls up, and these young girls didn't know who the person was.
I see. Tammy, thank you for sharing that with me. Tina, from what Tammy is telling, what we just heard from Tammy, what specifically is she talking about? Were you able to hear the call?
I did. So let me say that. So there are lots of areas in the city, yes, and outside the city, since we covered D.C., Maryland, Virginia, that people are trafficking houses. I mean, we keep the locations. We work with the police as well. They are tracking that to make sure. But, yes, most of the areas would be where you live, where your neighborhood is right now. It would be. And think about why. It would be because of whatever money that you live around or are close to.
Hmm. Interesting. You mentioned, and I do want to go through all of them, but I didn't hear the fourth one. You mentioned family control, pimp, gang control, and the fourth one. What was the fourth
boys.
One?
Boys.
Boys. Mm-hmm. That's the word that you used. Boys. Okay. I couldn't quite understand it. I think we lost the call. I want to talk about all of those in just a bit. But before I do, you were in the foster care system. And you met your first pimp, I believe it was at 15 or so. Briefly, tell me, what was your experience on being trafficked?
Well, my experience is the same experience of all of our youth.
Mm-hmm.
So you meet somebody, and there was a relationship that I thought I had, didn't have, with this person who was 15 years older than me. So I was 13 at the time when I met them. I was adopted. My family wasn't a bad family, and I went to private school. So that's another misconception that everyone's bad and everyone doesn't go to school. That's not the case. This person has to bond with you in some type of way, like any pedophile will have to. So they're going to be great, right? They're going to make sure you're on time at home. They're going to make sure it looks great, because the real question you want to ask me is why we never pay attention to the person behind the scenes. Because it's the youth that gets in trouble. They never met him, right? No one knew who this man was, because there was no reason for me to say anything, because this man, I felt, didn't do anything wrong. He did not try to have sex with me. He was taking me to school. He was making sure I went to school. He was being my friend. And I think that's what we need to worry about. We keep wanting these signs to know, but these signs are people that will go under your radar as adults.
Interesting.
These are people that live in our neighborhoods, that are around our kids on a daily basis. Some of our boys are found in houses in their neighborhood where this woman who happens just to live in their neighborhood, and they just have all the runaway children at their home. And so look for that, right? And so in this scenario, a child doesn't tell you anything until it gets really bad to them.
Tina, hold your point. I need to take a really quick break, and I'll let you finish. This is an absolutely fascinating story. Good information as we drill down a little more deeply into this difficult subject. Of course, we're talking about sex trafficking. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us if you're on the phone. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation and your phone calls continue on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are taking a look at the difficult topic of sex trafficking, not just locally, but nationally, and what you need to know to make sure that your children are protected. My guests are Lisa Daughtry. She is a sex trafficking advocate and director of marketing and community outreach for No More Martyrs, a organization that deals with the mental health of victims of sex trafficking. Also, Tina Front. She is the founder and director of Courtney's House and is a sex trafficking survivor. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Tina about some of the things that not only she experienced, but is knowledgeable about and things you need to be aware of that may very well be happening in your neighborhood. Tina, please go right ahead.
Yeah, so with that being said, it's way more about establishing. So to me, in my head, we were together forever. But of course, in my youth head, it's almost 2 months. And, you know, it just happened to be a day on my 14th birthday where I had an argument with my parents. And the argument was that I couldn't stay out by 9. And I called him, and he said, I'll pick you up. Don't take anything. And I want to stop there to say something. My thought in my head was to come home. Intention was to come home. All of our youth, their intentions were, if they're not bringing items, then their intentions are to come home. What's important is that, yes, is this kidnapping? I want you all to think about that at home. It is. And now you're saying how, because you called him, but you were 14. And that's what I need everyone to remember. We're talking about kids. I had no consent. So I cannot consent to get in a car with an adult. See, the problem is we need to change our kidnapping laws, right? Especially because it's mostly African-American youth. And with that being said, I was kidnapped. But if you would have pulled me over, right, I would have thought that I ran away. And it's important about our words, because running away is a charge in most of the states in our listening area. So if they're running away as a charge, you get interviewed as you did something wrong. So that's when people say, oh, they ran away. But did they leave home or did someone pick them up? They don't know the answer to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. One of the things that I find in a particularly curious, and as a matter of fact, this was one of the issues that was discussed. I remember 2 years ago when the D.C. police were trying to address this issue. And to your point, Tina, one of the things that they were saying was that a lot of the girls who were trafficked, and they were specifically talking about girls, were runaways. But even being runaways, that does contribute to this issue, doesn't it?
I'm going to tell you that 95% of those cases are mine. So it's harder for me to answer that, because if 95% of those cases were mine, I know it's trafficking, right? Mm-hmm. And so the truth is, we can't tell you all who which one, because they're all open cases. So instead, they get answers like, oh, they came back and they're fine, or they recovered in their home. We can't give you the information because they're all open cases. So I think that's the harder part, because the public doesn't know what the issue is, but behind the scenes we know it's a horrible issue. And now we need to find some type of merge, right, where we can actually tell you, but if we told you, we would identify all the youth that are actually being trafficked in mm-hmm. their cases.
You have an additional concern, Lisa, as it relates to this issue.
Well, I know this year earlier we had dental professionals at our discussion, and one thing, they're being trained as far as to know when they're dealing with a victim who's part of trafficking.
How does that work? So you're talking dentists, dental hygienists, mm-hmm. and the like. How does that work?
Because they offer forensic service involving the collection of evidence, signs of abuse. As well as when the trafficker brings them in, they're trying to change them cosmetically. So their teeth or, you know, basically cosmetic for dental.
Mm-hmm. So what you're suggesting is that somebody may bring a teenager in mm-hmm. To improve their teeth?
Right.
To make them look more attractive.
Right, exactly.
So here's my issue with that. And this is such a difficult thing, because I know that even when I was in high school, mm-hmm. that there were parents of means, mm-hmm. or they had children, my classmates, who, and I'm not talking about braces, I'm talking about they went to see orthodontists.
Right.
So should we look at every child, and I'm playing the devil's advocate here, every girl, for example, who has dental surgery to improve her smile, she's not necessarily a victim of trafficking.
No, I mean, because there are additional physical signs as far as if a child is part of a trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And one is they might have tattoos or branding from the trafficker. That's how they mark their victims.
Mm-hmm.
As far as their hygiene, I mean, the environment that they're in, it's not the most clean or immaculate place to live. So at the same time, they malnourish or dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
So there's signs. It's not just a child comes in and say, okay, you need to
fix
my teeth. Yeah.
Gina, calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to say I went to school in 3. I graduated, and my degree was in social work. And I still remember, and it bothers me a lot, when I did my internship, I went to Pennsylvania. One thing that was really shocking was that there were more boys that were being molested than little girls. And I also found out that the majority of them would not tell their parents. They wouldn't tell their mom. They wouldn't tell their dad because they were scared. In 2005, I made a decision that I didn't want to work in that field. It was just, it was just so unbelievable. I just wanted to call and I just wanted to say that, because for a long time, I just really thought that it was girls that were being molested and raped and, bothered and teased. But I believe it's the percentage, it would be more male than female. So I just, wanted to call in and I wanted to say that. And it is so sad that those little boys that I saw when I did my internship in 2003 didn't know that they needed to tell somebody, that they didn't know that they needed to reach out and tell somebody because they wanted help. And today, if you mention that, you got to be gay or you got to mm-hmm. be the expression of punk or something like that. And I'm telling you, I have 3 grandsons.
Okay.
I pray every day, but it is just so sad.
Well, Gina, thank you so much for sharing with us. Tina, your thoughts about that, because I want to make sure that even during the course of this discussion that we do not confuse sexual assault, molestation, mm-hmm. sex abuse with the illicit business of sex trafficking.
Right, because it's all of those things combined plus selling the body, yes.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
It is. So I'm glad the caller mentioned boys because I'm mentioning boys all the time, usually. So we are actually the only service provider in the area that works with boys that are sex trafficked at all. And so I think what you're saying is true. All of our boys, so let's go with the misconception. Mostly people think all our boys define as gay, and that's actually not true at all. And I think when men are sexually assaulted and boys, we assume they're gay. And that's going to be your number one reason why they don't say anything. The next piece would be they do say something and then we don't listen. And that part would be the parents. Let's talk about the parents, because in every case that I had, it did not go through. No case went through. No one was prosecuted in any of the boys' cases, mostly for 2 reasons. The boys denied them being involved in it, right? So they have a video of the boy being drugged and sexually assaulted and sold. And the boy denies that it's him. And then his parent does, too. And I want to talk about that because that's the issue, because we assume that our children are gay or not because they were forced or because they were raped or they were sold. It's, oh, no, I don't want people to think my son is gay. And that is a real issue, especially amongst the Black community that I see.
But isn't that, that's a survival mechanism for them? I mean, to be in denial.
Well, of course it is. Right. But also parents, right? Mm-hmm. We have to say something and have the child be able to. Because to be honest with you, all our kids, when they come to us, actually want to talk. Right. It's the parents that are getting muted them because they're not ready for that. And so that's why we have parent support groups at Courtney's house. And I think we don't talk about that enough. The support for parents whose children are being trafficked as well.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for calling, Tony. What's on your mind?
So my question is for a single dad. I'm a single dad. My daughter, she's listening with us right now.
How old is she?
She is 18.
Okay.
And so my thing is, I don't want her to be fearful of the world and everything that's going around. And she's learning how to be independent at this time. And so I want her to be able to do things on her own and be able to go and do. But then as a dad, you know, you hear all of this stuff and then, you know, it's like you want to not let her go or do anything. So what do you say to a single dad and to that 18-year-old daughter who wants to go out and be independent and learn and grow on her own?
That is such a great question.
I mean, just ensure with her to be aware of her surroundings. Be aware of her surroundings. I mean, not to fear that every time she walks out that someone is going to abduct her, but I notice that when I am out, I notice a lot of people are on their phone. The youth are always on their phone or listening to their music. They're not being aware as far as their surroundings. And that's what sort of scares me a lot, because it's just a nonchalant, not saying I always have to be turning left and right in my head, but just be aware of where you are.
Mm-hmm. Tina, your thoughts about that?
So, go to different ways since I work with youth. Sorry if I'm telling you watching this with your dad and I'm about to tell some secrets. Look, you know I'm going to talk about y'all's IG, y'all Instagram. Sorry, y'all. Mm-hmm. So, look, let's have a real talk about that one. So I know everybody got to have it open so we can have our friends, or sometimes we have it closed, but now I want to talk about what I see the most. So the DMs of grown men sliding into minors' DMs and showing pictures of their unmentionables. Mm. Not your child, but their friends, okay? And that happens every day. To everyone. So your daughter, your child, your son knows somebody right now, and you need to explain to them how to say no and what those pictures are to tell you about it, right, instead of not letting you know that that's what they get. And I'm saying that because every day our youth tells us how men that they have not solicited call in and put in, right, show them pictures of their penises, and then solicit money to the child saying, I will do this. You know, I'll give you money if you just hang out with me, or I'll buy these shoes. All you have to do is talk. And that's what they actually see the most. So I think you need to start having conversations. And we have to remember as parents, if we raise them, then you're going to have to trust them enough to have common sense, do everything you said. It's scary, but we're going to have to really teach them. Teach them what a real pimp is, to please. And the difference between what trafficking is, because it's not somebody kidnapping you, but we need to show, because unfortunately in our community, we actually highlight pimps, right? And they are the greatest thing. They're actually the ones who are trafficking. So we need to give them the real information.
Tony, thank you so much for your phone call and your well-informed question. And certainly, you know, we wish you, you know, all the best. Always good to see fathers trying to make sure that their children, specifically their daughters, are on point and safe. So thank you so much for that question. To that point, Tina, And this kind of piggybacks on what Tony was just suggesting. You know, earlier this week, and you may have heard about this, that Jack Young, the mayor of Baltimore, made a comment about the same kind of thing that I think Tony was talking about. And I want you to listen to this and then react on the other side.
We're getting reports of somebody in a white van trying to snatch up young girls for human trafficking and for selling body parts, I'm told. So we have to really be careful, because there's so much evil going on, not just in the city of Baltimore, but around the country. Don't park near a white van. Make sure that you look at your surroundings and make sure you keep your cell phone in case somebody try to abduct you, and call 911 right away.
So, Tina, your thoughts about that? I actually remember seeing some postings on Facebook about this mm-hmm. this white van thing. The report about what Jack said, about Mayor Young said, was he got his information from Facebook. The Baltimore City Police Department said they didn't get any information about that, nor did the FBI. That being said, it sounds as if he was kind of focusing on some of the stereotypes, and you just talked about focusing on pimps and stereotypes and the kind where, you know, today's when people think pimps, depending on where your age, you may be thinking about somebody in a zebra skin hat with some, you know, with some bell bottoms and a Cadillac. But the reality is that they are very, very different from that stereotype, aren't they?
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to make a quote on my way here today. Our youth, you know, I was to be on the air. I was telling them what we were doing and what this was going to be about today on the radio show, encouraging them to listen. And the first thing they said was this: can you please tell people to stop saying that?
Exactly. Stop saying what?
That people get put into vans and mm-hmm. that's how you traffic. And
exactly.
Of course, that's what I'm going to tell them. And then they said this: because what's happening is then they're not going to understand how you really get traffic and like we were tricked. And so I think that's the reality. We keep putting out this mis-messaging out that you're not going to understand if someone's actually at school every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually being sold by their parent. And no one, and that went under radar for years and we won't know. Or their best friend who had them go to a party with them and they got set up at the party. The friend left. And they got set up, and that's how they got in their trafficking situation. And that's actually a real story. All of these are real stories. And so that's how trafficking actually happens.
And I just want to add this, because in some cases, it's the person is walking right up to you. And I've watched a video where it took about 8 seconds for a person to be abducted, just swiped, and no one seen it. So, I mean, I agree totally. Stop with the white van. The white van theory.
And which goes back to the point that I was making, you know, earlier, where there was an attempted abduction of a grade school girl on the streets in Prince George's County. But again, we don't know mm-hmm. how that attempted abduction would have ended. We don't know how it would have mm-hmm. ended had she not gotten away. And so I think that, again, yes, safety overall mm-hmm. is an issue. But we're not talking about overall safety here. We're not talking about somebody grabbing you and snatching mm-hmm. you into the bushes. What we're talking about is the slickster.
Right.
The person who is attempting to groom you mm-hmm. for a very specific purpose of making money off of you as a sexual object. Am I on point here, Tina?
Yes. Yeah, it could be more about recruiting, about you. Again, a friend can do it, another friend in that child, in your child's grade can do it because she doesn't actually know or he doesn't know that it's a trafficker yet, right? So they're inviting them over, saying, hey, I have this friend. So I just will tell parents to check everything, double check their accounts on IG, know all their passwords. Please know all their passwords. And if they switch it, then you need to lock their account and they can't use their account. They have to give you the passwords at all times. And that's what I would say our good parents kind of, they didn't know about all the accounts and things on social media.
We've also spoken about men being the perpetrators of these crimes, but it's not always men. Sometimes there are women involved, are there not?
Well, yeah. I mean, this life, unfortunately, and also we have lots of survivors. It was a female who trafficked them, actual cases that went federal cases as well, where other females, they didn't, it was them that did it. And usually those are more violent. Like those cases, they did literally have our children, you know, wrapped up to a bedpost and man came in and bought sex with them. So they knew. So these things are not always when people are saying things. They may be hiding this as like a fetish instead, mm-hmm. which is what we see the most.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Carol, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Carol. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just had a comment, and I also have a question. The first question would be where early in the conversation, one of the ladies stated that it's a $150 million business, and I wanted to know where she got her data from. And my comment is that a lot of times when I see these young females that have been abducted, it's you look at the pictures that are posted, and the young girls look like adults. And I think that some of the parents should take culpability because, I mean, why is your young child wearing makeup or looking far older than what they truly are?
I got that information from the National Human Trafficking Resource Center as far as the $150 billion a year profit from human trafficking.
Yes, and you can also find that on the Justice Department's website and also the State Department's website. Mm-hmm. There's also another report. I'm also part of the White House Advisory Council. So on the State Department's website, there's a TIP report, the Trafficking in Person Report. Go on that. You'll see the White House Advisory Council's report. That's our report that gives every state our recommendations to the federal government that they have been putting in place and what they've been doing. So that report is also available online.
There you go. Carol, thank you so much for your phone call. Can you talk a little bit about what Carol was asking, Tina, about you know, parents who may not who aren't trafficking their children but may be unwittingly contributing to them possibly being targets of that?
So lots of parents have, you know, reached out to us about their children. One thing I do want to say, the reason I started our parent support group was because if my parents knew about resources, they would have went to our support groups in a minute. There are lots of very concerning parents, but we blame them, right? We blame the ones that are actually looking for their children for resources. And the reason is there aren't actually enough resources out, right? And there are no other parent support groups for youth who are being trafficked other than ours in the country. So I also think the parents don't have the resources that they need. They all had to go find us themselves online to find because no one gave them the resources either. So let's talk about we have a lack of resources. Mm-hmm. That's one. You're right. She was also right about the comment about the posters. We are fighting on that. Most of the posters don't look like the youth are being trafficked at all, and it doesn't represent who they are. So I also think that that's been changing a lot, too, to get better messaging.
Okay. Again, Carol, thank you so much for your phone call. Tina, how did you get away from this trafficking situation?
So I don't have a beautiful answer for you. So everything we do at Courtney's House is based off of my life because the first help was juvenile detention, where I was charged for prostitution at 15, which is why children cannot be charged anymore for prostitution on the federal level. So we helped with that. And then we had to create resources. So I didn't have resources. I stayed in the life on and off for many years. I've never been addicted to drugs. So I think the other thing is having resources for people to get out. So creating resources, that's what I did. I had to go to counseling, find counseling, then go back and train people. And I'm being honest. I had to train therapists, and then go back to train them, and then make sure we had the right counseling. So to answer your question, it wasn't enough resources for me. So I had to learn how to get counseling and then learn how to create them.
Mm-hmm. So was the arrest the beginning of the end?
No.
Well, what was that? What was the beginning of the end?
There is nothing to tell you, but I can tell you this to all the listeners out there who haven't told anyone their secret. I got tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. So being tired, and my issue was mental health, meaning depression and not understanding it. So finding the right counseling led me to understand I was a victim over years because no one saw me as that. So I'm telling you the truth. It took me years. Had to find the right counseling and then services. And so I had to create them once I got to a good place, and that's what happened.
I guess what I'm
really
asking
you, sexual assault counseling. There is no answer to tell you. I can just tell you it took me years to get out. So I was in life for over 15 years, so it took me years.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is that there was somebody that groomed you for this. How did you like you said, you were in this for 15 years. Was he there the entire 15 years?
No.
I guess that's what I mean.
You have many other people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I had many other people other than him. He was killed a long time ago. But his whole family still pimps today. So his family was a family of pimps. It was his grandmother, actually, who groomed us and did the grooming. But his whole family pimped.
Amazing. Where does the help begin for boys or girls? And when I say the help, I mean that where does that first mental health entry into moving them out of this? Where does it start? How does that start, Tina?
Well, we focus on a transition of a mindset, right? Because that's actually what happens. You have to transition your whole mind. And you have to think of this. 90% of all of our youth, including myself, were sexually assaulted before the trafficking situation. And mine started at 9. So first, you have to work through all the trauma that you've ever been through. I mean, that's very difficult to even begin to do. But then understand why your decisions and choices were. So, to be honest, it's ongoing. You know, it starts at the very beginning, but we're asking a child to say they need counseling. No, it also has to be fun and services they understand. It also has to be people who actually went through that life and understand more about it. So where it begins can be anywhere, but you have to connect people to the right services, especially survivors. So for me, all of our youth say they're with us because I'm a survivor who created it, right? Even though all the staff isn't, that we understand what they went through and that they don't want other people who don't. So I think listening to that and understanding that they need to be connected to resources, and there are now around the country survivor-run organizations to connect people to make sure they get the right services.
I have about a minute or so left. I'll let you have the last word, Lisa. Some final thoughts from you.
If you do, I guess, encounter someone who has dealt with self-trafficking, I would advise to be very patient with them. As Tina had said, she specializes in this, and health providers are trying to get improved as far as assisting and as far as screening individuals. But for those who are notice the physical signs or the mental characteristics of someone who's been sex trafficked, I would be very patient with them and ensure that they get a therapist. And it's a long haul. It's not something short term.
Indeed not. I want to thank both of you for spending some time with us and talking about this really difficult issue. Tina Front and Lisa Daughtry, I really appreciate it. And of course, information about the organizations that both of you represent will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30, as well as the podcast. So again, thank you both so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Wednesday, December 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.